We have Super Tathis for Parshas Vayetze. We'll start out with a couple of stories. The first story is a story about Rav Zalman Brazil. So this story is based on, it jump starts off of a Rashi on Lamed Chaf Gimel, where it says that Rachel said, sorry, we have Vatar Vatelet Bain, Vatomer Asaf Elokim Escher Pasi. So all of a sudden, Rachel is waiting for a child, and all of this is very, very important to her and everything else. And she says, Kadosh Baruch Hu gathered my cherpa. So the Medrash, according to Rashi, says, a woman, when she doesn't have a child, she waits for who to be able to, like, you know, mention all of the challenges she has. So once she has a child, she says, ah, who broke this kli? It was my son. Who ate these figs? It was my son. And it seems a little bit off the mark, because she's waiting for a kid for all these years, and then and she says, you know, if I don't have a child, then I'll die. All these other things, like, why is it so important to say, well, this one is the one who ate the figs? So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says that's a big mussar here, is that when we are thankful, we need to be thankful for all of the things that are given to us. V'alakol anachnu modim lach. I mean, we don't thank for just the big things or the things that we're asking for, the things we're thinking about, but like all the little details. So of course it's wonderful to have a child, and I even get the bell and the whistle of being able to, you know, say, oh, okay, so this is the one who ate the figs. So there's an example of this story about Zalman Brazil, who in his older age, he had to go into a wheelchair. So, you know, all of his life, he was racing to the Beis Medrash, running to do mitzvos, standing in Shmona Esrei, able to shuckle and dance at a simcha and all these other things. And all of a sudden, that all went to the wayside. And not only was he unable to do that, but he wasn't even independent. He needed other people to help him. And, you know, those days of rushing had gone, and doing what he could do with the simcha. And all this, he still said, look at the chassad HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me when I'm old. Because all of my life, when I went to the Beis HaMedrash, I needed to be able to pass through the street. And to be able to pass through the street, you have the challenge of Shmiras Einayim. You have to keep your eyes open to be able to see whether you're going to bump into a pole or get hit by a car or something else. And, you know, to the best of my ability, I still had to, you know, I had to at least have some sort of visibility during my trip. But now, somebody else is pushing me in a wheelchair and I can close both of my eyes, and that nisayon is gone. So this is just an example of being able to see something extraordinarily good in life. The next, their next story is a milsa de bichusa, a joke of the Netziv. So Netziv was a big charif; he was very sharp, and he said something along the lines of, you know, there's the famous medrash about the rocks, and the rocks all argued about Yaakov Avinu. Alai yanuach tzadik es rosho, tzadik should put his head on me. And, you know, it was that lefi chazal, all the rocks became one rock, so they could all be able to service the tzaddik. So there was a gvir who was somewhat heavy, in fact quite heavy, who came to visit the netziv, and the balabayas, you know, he wanted a visit with him, so the Netziv gave him a chair to sit down on. And this chair was one of those straw chairs where it's made of those woven straws that are, you know, going back and forth, you know, horizontally and vertically. And, you know, it has those, it has an appearance of little holes. But the problem is that this woven straw chair with all the holes, when the balabayas came, the gevir came and he sat on it, he fell right through. And it broke because of his extraordinary weight. So the Netziv obviously knew that he was a little embarrassed. And the Netziv tried to kind of loosen the mood a little bit. So what did he say? He said, look, when Yaakov Avinu, the Tzaddik, was there. All the rocks said, everyone let me, you know, put my, let the tzaddik put his head on me. All the rocks became one rock. He said, look, the same nace happened for you, right? All the holes in the chair said, everyone, the gvir should sit on me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that all the holes became one hole. So that was that's the story about the Netziv and the Gvir. Next story is a story about Rav Meir Shapira in Yeshivas Chochmei Lublin. He had a masmid in the yeshiva based on one of the psukim. He has a story. So there was a bacher, his name was Yaakov Yitzchak Blumenkrantz, and he would learn day and night. He would learn early in the morning and late at night. One time the Rosh Yeshiva came up to him, you know, it was already after midnight, and he saw that he was sitting down writing some charifus on the paper, and he says, Yaakov Yitzchak, what are you doing? Why are you not sleeping, at such a light hour? And he said, look, I'm trying to write down some chidushim. And Rav Meir Shapira, without missing a beat, responds and says, when you come to me for haskama, I know exactly what to call the name of the sefer, Gnuvasi Yom Ugnuvasi Laila, meaning I was stolen from the day and stolen from the night, meaning to say that, you know, this young man has been working day and night, and he basically has time stolen from him for this project more and more. So last story is a Rishal Salanter story, which I love very much. Rishal Salanter was traveling, and in his travels, he got to Paris, France, and he got to a very hush of a hotel, a very fancy one, and he stopped there for a minute to have a cup of coffee. He needed it to kind of recharge. So the owner of the hotel came and gave him a cup of coffee, and he charged him an exorbitant amount for the coffee. It was several francs. And after Rav Yisrael paid the full amount, he started to think about it to himself. Really, a cup of coffee costs only a couple of cents, right? I know what happens when I buy this. Why did he charge so much? He said, you know what? But the truth is, he's right. Because what I'm paying for him is not just for the coffee. It's for the coffee. It's for the water. It's for the milk. It's for the whole beautiful building. It's for the furniture. And it's for the area around it. All of the beautiful silverware and the beautiful teacup and the coffee cup, and of course the service of the waiters, and then the people who clean it, and all of this costs a lot of money. So, you know, if you go to a hotel like that to drink some coffee, you're really getting the benefit of all of this. So you just need to know all the hanos that you're getting, all the pleasure that you're getting, and the ancillary benefits. You just need to, you know, to open your eyes. And he says, oh, now I realize something even more important. How much do we need to be makir tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we're in the hotel of the Ribono Shel Olam, the master of the whole universe? Every Jew who drinks in his house a cup of coffee or a cup of water when they're thirsty, they're enjoying in that moment from the ground that he's on, the basis of the house, the foundation under his feet, being able to breathe the air, being able to have the beautiful sun from the sky, being able to smell the flowers, the chirping of the birds, and everything that's around them. Boy, is there a lot to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Okay, on to beautiful Divrei Torah. The first one from the Menachem Tzion, which is from Menachem Sachs. He says, when Yaakov Avinu calls the place where he sees his vision Beis El, he changes it. It mentions there that the prior name of the place was called Luz. So why do we care? The Gemara in Sota tells us that Luz was a place where the Malach HaMavis couldn't go. So you would think that if the Malach HaMavis would go there, people would live forever and be happy. But what really happened was that the people, when they got old and they got sick of their lives, as it were, they would go to the border of the city, and then the Malach HaMavis would get them there. I mean, people would choose how long they would live. There's this concept, says says the Menachem Tzion, he says, it's a Gemara in Shabbos, Yamim Herichu, Shonim Lo Herichu. He says, you know, you can have, you have to put something special into your days. So there are people who are trying to live a biological life. You live a biological life, eventually people get sick of life. If people live a spiritual life, they live a life where they're instilling nitzchius, eternity, in their lives, then all of a sudden they really feel so much out of whatever amount of time HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them on planet Earth. And that's the difference between living in luz, where it's really just fighting the biological clock, and realizing that it's the existential meaning that we'll find in life that's going to make life worthwhile, as opposed to Beis El, where we really are living a life of ruchnius and nitzchius, and that's a life that is indeed worth living, and that is the change of the world order that Yaakov Avinu brought in changing the name of that place. So the next one is this is by Yaakov when he's working for Rachel. It says it's as if the days were short time for his love for Rachel. And there's a lot of writing on this on this piece from Rabbeinu Yonah in his Pirush in Mishlei on Im Tevakshenu Kekesef Kamatmonim Tachvasena, where he says that you're supposed to seek chokhmah, supposed to seek wisdom, and that's the chokhmah satorah, like it was a jewel. And one of that is to come hungry. You need to come excited about learning to it. You have to desire it with extraordinary abandon. And he says, and that's, we learn a smach from that idea, from how Yaakov was so excited and enthused about being able to marry Rachel that the time seemed like nothing. When you go to a Beis Medrash and all of a sudden hours and hours have passed, then that's how you know, that you're doing something right. Next, Rabbeinu Bachya. Yaakov Avinu says, if you give me Beged Lilbosh, he says, if you only give me a couple of things, when he asks for a Kadosh Baruch Hu at that tefillah that he has in Beis El, and he says, only a few things, but he doesn't ask for the moon. He's only asking for the things which are necessary for his life. And this is the Mida, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, is the Mida of Histapkus. And then he makes a really fascinating observation. He says, look, if you really are trying to understand the way the world works and the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into our system, you will see that the most common things are the things that we need the most in this world, and the least common things are the things that we need the least. So people in this world are chasing jewels, which are rarer, but you don't need them at all. There's so much more food available than there are jewels, and you see them in the shuk, you see them in the farm, you see them in the field, whatever it is, you can find that almost anywhere, and food is really what you need. And even more than food, you need water. And you can find even more water than you can find food. And even more than water, you need air to breathe. And air is everywhere. And that's the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put together a system where we can find enough to be mistapik and to have that satisfaction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and tune out the chemda and taiva of the world and tune in to ruchnis and nitzchias. Next, last thing is the Sforno. Says by Leah makes her deal with with her sister about being able to be with their husband for that evening, and she goes out to see him, and the Seforno puts in a very interesting line. He says, and this is the shevach of the Imahos, because the Imahos, not only did they daven for what they hoped would happen, but they also took matters into their own hand and were mishtadel to do what they were doing, the Shem Shamayim. And it's just this idea that it seems very, very clear that we are supposed to be doing both hishtadlus and tefillah. We're supposed to put in efforts on the ground and to daven. And just an interesting thing is you can be medayik next week when we see that Yaakov Avinu does tefillah v'dorin u'milchama, That's also the same thing he davens. He asks for a Kodesh Baruch Hu to help him, but he also takes human efforts. I have a steer that was in the email for the thinking question, but I have exhausted our 15 minutes, so I will wish you a good Shabbos.